J1.
Number 5A.
I'd like to have us go together through the reference on Creator. In the Mind Compendium, I'd like to have us begin, therefore, with the first idea which characterizes mind. And this is Creator. And let's just see what tone this idea gives to mind. Now, what we see is this. Mind, God, is the only creator who creates, makes, begets, and produces all. Now, let's just take that sentence and analyze it and look at it. Mind. Let's just get the feel now. We're talking about mind. God is the only creator. Now, mind is capitalized, therefore it stands for God. So mind is the divine mind. So we say that the divine mind is the only creator. Now, if we can just think of what this means, that mind alone is the only creator. That mind. Now, this is often things which we have to do. We begin to see that when I speak here in class, that I can only present a methodology of study. I can only present a methodology of looking at the compendiums. But to really get that beautiful round tone of what I am saying, one must be quiet and one must be alone and one must be in an attitude where you just really contemplate what you are saying. Because therefore you get the spiritual spirit. The letter becomes alive. One isn't just saying mind is the creator and everybody says, yeah, fine, mind's a creator, and then it goes nowhere. It doesn't do anything. They're just words. But in order for one to really get the spirit and the feel, it also often only comes in our quiet study. So what I can do is only present a methodology of studying, which you must do in your own quiet time. And then the whole spirit comes rushing in and you just feel it. It's really a beautiful study. To be alone with oneself and to be alone with oneself and to be alone with reality. It's beautiful. The whole feeling is very spiritual. So again, I can only present the methodology. Now, let us feel and see therefore then that mind alone is the only creator. This statement doesn't say that matter is the creator. This doesn't say that matter creates. What this statement is saying, that mind creates. Now this is something which is very fundamental and big. Mind creates. Now, mind creates, or mind is the only creator. Now, creator, we know, is a noun. And as a noun, it means one who, or that which creates, produces, causes, or constitutes. So mind is that which creates. Mind is that which produces from nothing. Mind is that which brings into being. Mind is that which causes to exist. Mind is that which produces mind is that which produces a new construction out of existing materials. This all stands for mind is that which creates. Mind is that which causes to exist. Therefore, when we see the word creates means that. Creates means to produce from nothing, to bring into being, or to cause to exist. Creates also not only means to produce from nothing, But the act of creating also means to produce a new construction out of existing materials. So, the term creates means to produce from nothing, or it means to bring into being, or it means to cause to exist, or it means to produce a new construction out of existing materials. So it is mind is that which creates or produces from nothing, brings into being, or causes to exist. So mind alone is that which causes all things to exist. Yes, Jack?
So you're implying negation when you say from existing materials?
From existing materials, it's a time when one says, and we will get into this, this is a very good question, but as we go in, we're going to look at these synonymous terms not only in a different way. We will look at them from their time tone, and we will look at them from their timeless tone. Now, from their time tone, mind looks like it is that which creates or brings something into being out of nothing. But from its timeless tone, mind just is reconstructing or restructuring that which already exists. It looks like a new forms, but it's a recombination or a restructuring of that which already exists. Now, mind alone is that which causes all things to exist. And as I mentioned, it's saying mind, not matter, is the only creator. Now, Mrs. Eddy on page 143 in Science and Health states, mind is the grand creator, and there can be no power except that which is derived from mind. And on page 256 in Science and Health, she states, infinite mind is the creator, and creation is the infinite image or idea emanating from this mind. Now, this is really a vast statement, and if we could just see the full significance of this statement. Again, let me say it again. Infinite mind is the creator, and creation is the infinite image or idea emanating from this mind. Now, when we are looking out from the divine mind, can we see that mind alone creates the image that we see? That mind creates the image which we see. That image that we are seeing here exists only as an idea in mind. Can we get the tone here? Mind creates the image. That image that we see is existing only as an idea in mind. Mind creates that image. That image exists only as an idea in mind. Now, one can just say, think of the future of mankind if they fully realize that infinite mind alone creates the image that we see. Think of it when man begins to not feel that matter creates. And man doesn't have to constantly go into the physical realm of dissecting and dissecting matter to find out what matter ticks. When all of a sudden mankind begins to realize, and they are beginning to realize, infinite mind alone creates the image which we see. Once it is caught on universally, it will revolutionize the whole world. Because infinite mind creates the image what we see, and that image exists only as an idea in mind. Now, someone can say, very, very logically, they can say, do you mean that infinite mind creates all these images of sin, disease, and death? They say, all right, you're saying that infinite mind alone creates the image that we see. And somebody very logically can come along and say, what do you mean? Do you mean that infinite mind creates then, if it creates the image, then it must create sin, disease, and death, and all the sickness and all this awful things that we see? And we say, no, infinite mind does not create the image of sin, sickness, and death. Mortal mind creates the image of sin, sickness, and death. Now here we're into it again. And slowly we must bring ourselves out. Now, we are saying Now, Christian Science is not saying that there is an infinite mind and a divine mind and a human mind and a mortal mind per se. What we are saying is, what science teaches, is that there is only one mind. There's only one mind. All men are of the same mind. There's only one mind, and all men are of this same mind. But what appears to be minds many, when we look out into the world, one says, it's just hard to believe that there's one mind, because you just, all you see are all these minds many running around all over everywhere, and you're just sure that there's got to be minds many. How can there be just one infinite mind? Now, what appears to be minds many is that man has so filled his consciousness with various degrees of belief that it looks like there are minds many. One mind has this belief, and another mind has that belief, and another mind has that belief, and another one has this belief, that it looks like there's a bunch of minds many running around. But in reality, there's only one mind. But man has so filled his consciousness with various degrees of belief that it looks like minds many. Now, to these various degrees of belief, Mrs. Eddy just has used the term mortal mind, human mind, and divine mind. They are terms that she has used to show that there are various degrees of belief in the world, and that man fills his one mind, the one mind, with all these various degrees of belief. Those minds do not exist in being per se. There isn't a mortal mind, there isn't a human mind, and there isn't a divine mind and an infinite mind. There's just the one mind. But in order to show that there are various degrees of belief and that man fills his consciousness with various degrees of belief, she has given the terms mortal mind, human mind, and the divine mind. And she shows that within this one mind there appears to be various degrees of awareness. Now, again, fundamentally, the fact is there is only one mind. Again, the fact is that mind alone is the creator. Therefore, mind is that which creates the image. Those are two very basic fundamental facts we can go home with this evening. There is only one mind. That mind is the creator. And that mind is that which creates the image. It does create the image. Now, it creates the image, but we see what happens here is that there's various degrees of awareness, and because there's varied degrees of awareness, that image which mind creates, the divine mind, is a perfect image. It's perfect. It's absolutely good and perfect. Now, what happens? Because there are various degrees of beliefs, those beliefs of mind and mind's awareness distort that image. Mind creates a perfect image. The one mind, there's only one idea, one mind, it's a perfect image. But because there are various degrees of belief, those beliefs distort the image that one sees, you see. So we see that mortal mind's awareness, which is based on physical beliefs, distorts the image so much that it sees an image of false passions, fears, depraved will, self-justification, pride, envy, it sees the images of deceit, hatred, revenge, it sees sin, sickness, disease, and death. Because one so fills one's consciousness with physical beliefs and lives only in a realm of physical beliefs that the images and the experiences that one has, because one is so filled with physical thinking, the images that one experiences and sees is one of fear. It sees envy, it sees deceit, it sees sin, it sees sickness. It just sees an imperfect world. It sees that perfect image distortedly in an imperfect way. Because of its beliefs, it just has distorted the image. Now we see that there is another degree of awareness within this one mind. There's that degree of the human mind's awareness, which is based on moral beliefs. Now, the human mind, or a degree of awareness, or what we say, when we fill the one mind so much with moral beliefs, the image that moral beliefs sees of the world is honesty, it sees humanity, it sees affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness, and temperance. So one can just see how natural this is. If one is so filled with moral thinking, and moral, good moral beliefs, that one just goes out into the world and sees everywhere humanity, and it sees everywhere honesty and affection, and you just know those people who are so morally good, and that they just see, oh, just good things in the world, that they don't see where somebody else is so physical and heavy that they're experiencing physical beliefs. And it's interesting, within this one being, you can have two people side by side. One lives in this house, one lives in this house. This one has all the images of fear and hate and sin, and it's just living in a horrible world, while this person with the moral beliefs is just living in a real nice, honest, happy, hope, faith, meekness world. They are in the same universe, but they're experiencing different universes, yet they're only within the one universe. It's because of what they've filled their consciousness with, you see. Now, there isn't only just the second degree of moral beliefs one can have, but one can also see that there's a third degree of awareness, and that is of the divine mind awareness. And this is based on spiritual understanding. Now, when one looks out from the divine mind and has spiritual understanding, the image that that mind sees is reality. That mind sees the true image. It's not seeing a bunch of distorted images that fear creates, because fear creates a lot of distorted images. It doesn't see all it doesn't even see so much even what the moral belief sees, because the moral belief sees faith and hope. Spiritual understanding and the divine mind sees the images, we could say, of wisdom, of purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, and holiness. Now, can we see this? This is very fundamental. That is it. There is just one mind. Mind creates the image. Mind creates a perfect image. But if our consciousness is so filled with physical beliefs, that distorts the image so it sees just physical beliefs. If one is filled with a moral belief, then it sees moral images. If one is filled with spiritual understanding, it sees reality, huh? Now, we can see, as Mary Baker Eddy shows on page 115 and 116 in Science and Health, as we change our degree of awareness, we encounter new images. As we change our degree of awareness, we encounter new images. Therefore, just very simply and fundamentally, but this is where we get the power of what we're thinking about. If we change our degree of awareness, we encounter new images, just as we went over. Whenever we change from a first degree of physical beliefs, let's say that man in this house here, the one with the physical beliefs, looks over and sees this lady in the house next door with the moral beliefs and who is experiencing a wonderful universe. And he says to the lady next door, well, you know, my world is just totally chaos and I'm experiencing all this fear and hate and sin and all this. So the lady, and the very moral lady, says to him, well, all you have to do is change your structure of consciousness. All you have to do is just change your beliefs and stop looking at the world as imperfection and start looking at the world through a higher moral state. Stop living on such a physical level. If you don't live on that physical level, you won't experience it. You know, do what I'm doing. Live on a much more moral and honest level, and therefore you'll experience meekness and temperance and moral qualities. So now if this man decides that he's going to come out of that degree of mortal mind into the human mind, then he's going to find out within the next month or so that, gee, no longer is he experiencing all this fear and hate and ugly world, that, gee, now he's experiencing a much more honest world. He's no more so deceitful as he used to be. He's much more honest. You see, he's expressing much more compassion. He, instead of having all these evil beliefs, he now has much more spiritual hope and faith, and he has much more meekness and temperance. So you can see, as he changes his degree of awareness and takes on a new degree of awareness, his images change. They have to change. He's come out of those beliefs, so therefore his images change, because mind forms the image, you see. Now, the same is true, therefore, if we change our awareness from the second degree of moral beliefs into the third degree of spiritual understanding. Now, when we are changing out of an awareness of the human mind, of the second degree, into awareness of the divine mind. So as we change out of this awareness of the human mind or second degree or moral qualities into the third degree of the divine mind or spiritual understanding, we no more experience just those moral human qualities. We no more experience just hope and faith. Now, as we move into the third degree and into a higher spiritual understanding, hope and faith turns to spiritual understanding, and this brings spiritual power. You see, one experiences something altogether different in the third degree than one experienced in the moral degree. It's good to be good and moral, but it's sure hard to always have a lot of faith and a lot of hope, because you hope in your faith and you hope in your, and you have all this faith all the time. And as we saw, faith cures. One can have a lot of faith, but one can be cured on faith cures. But we see that the moment one, just as soon as one has a lot of faith in God, one can also lose the faith in God. It's a very loose stage of consciousness to be on. So understanding the third degree is a firm ground and firm foundation, because one understands reality and one can always keep oneself in tune with that reality. Therefore, there's not this consciousness lag or consciousness drop. So what we see, therefore, is that third degree presents different images than even the moral second degree. So mortal mind with its first degree and physical beliefs distorts that image really physically bad. The moral, the human mind in the second degree with its moral faith is beginning to pick up a better type of an image. As one moves into the third degree of spiritual understanding, one totally comes into different images altogether and experiences even a different world than the moral. Now, as we saw, therefore, as we change degrees, we change beliefs, our image changes. So we see that these images that mortal mind creates, all that physical images that mortal mind creates, they are not the same images that the divine mind creates. So when Mrs. Eddy says, infinite mind is the creator, and creation is the infinite image or idea emanating from this mind, she is certainly meaning that infinite mind's creation is not the same as mortal mind's creation. So when we say, does infinite mind therefore create all the sin, sickness, and death we see, we easily say, no, because infinite mind's creation is, from the infinite mind one sees a different image than what mortal mind sees. So, the fundamental fact is that the images that mortal mind creates are not the same images that the divine mind beholds. It cannot be. Now, Mrs. Eddy also states, in the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man as God's image appears. Now, again, I'll state that because it's a profound statement. In the third degree, mortal mind disappears, and man as God's image appears. So when man is looking out from that third degree and with a divine mind awareness of wisdom and purity and spiritual understanding and spiritual power and love and health and holiness, when one has that all filled in one's consciousness, then one sees the real man, the real image that God created. One is no longer seeing a distorted image. And she says, in the third degree, mortal mind disappears. So in that third degree, when one is so filled with spiritual understanding, you see, mortal mind's beliefs disappears, because no more can we possibly believe in mortal mind's belief. Therefore, mortal mind disappears and the divine mind's image appears. Now, this is St. John's experience in Revelation. While St. John was looking out from the third degree, looking out from the divine mind, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. Now, how is this possible? How is it possible for somebody to see a new heaven and a new earth? It's only possible through the way we have explained it. And one can say, again, I've written a question. How is it possible that in the third degree, mortal mind's images disappear and the divine image appears? How is it possible for that mortal mind image to disappear and the divine mind's image appears? Now, it is possible because there is, as I mentioned and we'll recapitulate, there is only one image. Mind creates an image. Mortal mind's false beliefs do not create a universe. You see, this man in this house with his mortal mind's belief isn't creating a universe. There's a true universe going on. All he's doing is seeing a distorted image of that true universe. His beliefs and his physical beliefs and everything are distorting or veiling or darkening the true universe. So this man with all his physical beliefs is looking like he's in a fog, and he's just kind of looking at reality, you know, through a fog. The images are all there. The real true creation is there, but he's just seeing it, you know, kind of like in a fog. He's seeing distorted images. His beliefs are distorting the images. So his beliefs, he's not creating another universe. There's only the one universe. Therefore, his beliefs are just distorting the image. So what we must see is that the real image is always there. So as man scientifically, systematically, through steps, drops more and more off of these mortal minds' distorted beliefs, it drops more and more off of the distorted images that man sees. And as man takes more and more on the divine mind or spiritual understanding, he finally sees the true universe. Now, also in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy, and I didn't write it down, but somewhere she talks, and it's at this point where man's diviner forms appear. So, we have, in Science and Health, therefore, again, we come back. Mind, we have creator, and this is what we were discussing to begin with here tonight. Mind is the grand creator, she says. Well, we feel we understand this now. Mind is the grand creator. And again, she says, infinite mind is the creator, and creation is the infinite image or idea emanating from this mind. She also says, God created all through mind and made all perfect and eternal. We can see that. We can just feel, yes, God created all through mind and made all perfect and eternal. And we don't have to go, ooh, you know. How can you say all's perfect and eternal with all this sin and that going around? Because now we understand that it's only the false belief that sees the sin and the disease. Once one goes into a higher realm of consciousness, one can say, yes, that's right. God really did create all through mind and did make all perfect and eternal. Therefore, that real image is there. All we have to do is to drop off less and less of our material beliefs and to see that image as it is. She also says, God made all that was made, and mind signifies God. And in Science and Health, again, just I'm going through the compendium. She will say, mind then made all. Mind makes and clothes all. Mind creates all identities. Mind creates all. Therefore, mind is a grand creator, and mind creates all. And no way, and no way anymore, when we come into the study of science, we must. This is metaphysics. This is beyond physics. There's no more sees the world as a matter world and created through and by and out of matter. This is metaphysics. It's one must at least, when one enters the study of science, accept the basic premise that mind is the basis of the universe and that mind is the all in all. One must accept the basis that mind is all. One has to accept that. Without this acceptance of the basis that mind is all, one cannot understand or appreciate the teachings of the science of Christian science.